Well, no intro from Harley this week, but that's okay. Thanks, Harley, for the intro last week, and maybe we'll get one next week. You never know. So what can I talk about? I remember last week's episode being pretty funny. I mean, it was me, so obviously, I mean, just as a matter of fact, it's going to be funny. Just right, oh, well, no, maybe not. I guess sometimes I'm not funny. So it could have been one of the, well, it was one of the two. It was either a funny one or a not funny one. Well, there you have it. Some expert analysis from yours truly. Although, am I truly yours? I don't know. Not sure how that saying developed. So Luke 11 through 13 is what we're reading today. And it comes from the Bible. So there's that for anyone new to the show. For anyone new to the show, here's the concept. Every word I'm reading is from the Bible. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works. If that concept, I know it's a weird concept, but I promise you, for those newbies out there who started with episode 215, Luke 11 to 13, there's some, I know you're skeptical, but no, it's a show. It's a whole podcast I have here. It's an entire thing. I got a whole 5-6 years of my life I've been doing. It's pathetic, actually. It's, oh man, I better, you know what? I just got to keep swimming like a shark, otherwise I'll sink at the thought of how much time I've wasted doing this book. But hopefully some other people have gathered something from my pain. And yeah, let's go with Luke 11 here. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said, oh, so yeah, I think when we left Jesus, he might have been, oh, is that where we left off? But anyway, at some point last reading, he was seeing how much he could pray. Like the dudes were spotting him. He's like, come on, guys, come watch me pray, which I don't know why you need people to watch you pray. That is really one of those things that you could just do and not have anyone watch. Hey, come watch me. I'm going to go to the bathroom. You want to watch me? Just, I don't know, just because, maybe you want to watch, I don't know. It's like, no, that's kind of a solo thing. Hey, I'm going to eat a bowl of cereal. Spot me. No, I think you can do that on your own. Oh, okay. I'm just lonely. I think Jesus is just kind of lonely. He's like, well, it's more fun if you guys are watching me. I don't really care if I do it by myself. It's boring. Anyway, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. Ooh, we're going to learn how to pray, guys. We're going to learn the secret words. It's the code. See, so if we don't say these specific words, then the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God won't hear our prayer. See, we got to know the secret passcodes, the secret game genie prayer cheats. So it's down, down, up, down, left, right. It's so stupid. Our Father, which art in heaven. Could there be anything? Oh, my God. Look, prayer is the stupidest thing in the world. There's no, I could see believing in a lot of things before believing in prayer. Like, a lot of things. I could see believing in Jesus. I could see believing in God. I could see blah, 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 all that. But when you get to the praying part, that is where there's just no, and it's funny, when you debate religious people, oftentimes they'll get to a point of like, well, this is just what he told us to do in the book. That's it. You know, I believe in the book. So, and he told us to do this. So I just got to do it. What about all the parts where you murder people? No, we don't do that. Oh, okay. Well, like, cause I don't get the, seriously, what is praying? And what I was going to say is I like how he's giving you instructions on like what words to specifically say, as if that's even worse than prayer. So like, it would be one thing if prayer was like, hey, you know, I know I'm God. You guys know I'm God. You know that I know all your thoughts and all that. But occasionally I just like if you check in, you know, check in, tell me, construct a creative prayer of your choice. Greet me however you want to, you know, do just mix it up. Say whatever you want. Say what you feel. Tell me something from the heart. How you been, you know? But it's another thing if he's like, the Son of God is like, here are the words you say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Oh, I was going to say it differently because I remembered it differently. But it's, in the Bible, it says here, as in heaven, so on earth. And so I kind of like the one I had, which was as in earth as it is in heaven or something. That's what I remember. Oh, wait, there's more. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So could there be anything less valuable to an all-powerful God? If I were all-powerful God, a cookie cutter, like a stencil, like here, just say these words and then you're good. Why would God give a shit about this? It's one thing if you want to say, oh, have a heart to heart, like, you know, spill your feelings to God. You know, he loves to hear from you. But it's another one. It's like, say the following words in this order. Like, how is that valuable? Who would care? Who would get anything from that? And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend, but shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come. Is this more of the prayer? What if some guy thought, like, this, he's still going on the prayer, like he missed the transition, like I kind of did. And so they've been praying this whole thing the entire time. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer, this is a weird prayer, shall answer and say, God, are you there? Here, let me tell you some things. Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. We know that to be a scientific fact. It always happens. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son... A little late for me. If a son, not that that's the reason, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask them? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. And some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divideth against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I call out devils and cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall be your judges. Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. This, they didn't do a lot of logicking back then, I don't think. Because like, so their argument is, maybe he's able to cast out these devils. Maybe that's because he's working with them. He's on the inside. He's a mole. And then Jesus is like, well, if I were working against devils, then devils would not succeed because a house divided falleth. And they're like, ah, oh, that's a great point. It's like, no, not really. It could just be more of a trick. Could be a really, the long con, as they call it. Beelzebub's like, yes, excellent, Jesus. They finally believe you. We have them right where we want them. Now that you've tricked them into thinking you're casting out devils, now you can start casting in devils. Fire, just give, you know, demon, point to that guy. Demon in you, demon in you, demon in you. We got them. Aha. That's Beelzebub's fantastic plan. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house once I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh him to several other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. This is God's like scientific explanation. Well, see, what's happening here is you got some spirits, and you got a little spirit box, each and every one of you, in your souls or something in your body. And some of you leave it wide open for the devils. And so the demons come and they're wicked, and then they're like, invite all their friends. Pretty soon they're having a demon party right in your old spirit box there. And dwell there in the sin of the worst. And it come to pass that as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou have sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. He's like, what you said makes no sense. Here, let me convert that to what I think. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. Oh, way to play to the crowd there, Jesus. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is in the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. I don't remember this giant spiel in the other gospels, so I guess this is Luke. Whoever wrote Luke is like, yeah, let me add a few things here. Here's a very long, drawn-out, boring speech about devils and how to avoid them, maybe, or wash your hands, everybody. Although, actually, he didn't say that. That is one thing he could have said that would have been quite useful if he told everyone to wash their hands when doing surgery, stuff like that. Not that they did a lot back then. If thy whole body, therefore, but he could have put it in the book, and then we would have found out earlier, germ theory disease, millions, gajillions of lives saved. If thy whole body were therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Oh, yeah. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisee make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. And answered one of the lawyers and said unto them, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also, you think? And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye... Oh, this is where he goes into his big lawyer humor bit. And next, let me tell you about lawyers. I don't know, I have a good lawyer joke, but they used to kill back in the day. There's a lot of Shakespeare lawyer jokes that just get so heavy of a laugh, because it's like, lawyers, I know, am I right? They loy, yeah, they lure you. That's what they do. For ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers! For you have seriously, woe unto you, lawyers! Jesus had a ton of legal trouble in his day because it was just that people were making claims that he, you know, oh, Jesus tried to miracle me. He tried to get a devil out and he badly injured my spine in the process because he did like a Heimlich, which I'm guessing didn't exist currently, but basically my entire spine was hurt and it is emotionally difficult for me to even go out in public anymore. I'm seeking $15 million in damages from Jesus because of this. He had a ton of legal trouble, so that explains kind of his hatred for lawyers here. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. So basically, it sounds like someone well off, some wealthy people invite Jesus to dinner. Like, oh, this guy seems pretty cool. This guy's going places. You know why I like him? He reminds me of me. I was a 20-something son of God at one time. We all were. And so they invite him and they have dinner. And Jesus basically says, like, here's why you suck. Here's why you suck. Here's why you suck. You over there. Guess what? You're not escaping it. You suck too. And they're like, okay, dude, we invited you for dinner. And he doesn't wash his hands. And the whole thing is like, well, I don't wash my hands. You guys clean everything in here, but you don't clean yourselves. You're not spiritually clean, you people. So that's what happened there. People just went after, you know, he just went after everybody. So let's go to the next chapter. What do you think about that? Should we do another chapter? Let's ask the audience. Boy, I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear a single one of you. I don't know if you spoke up or not, but I'm going to assume you said, let's do another chapter. So I go, okay. I mean, I'd appreciate a little more enthusiasm next time, if you guys don't mind. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, and so much that they trode upon one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light, and which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more what they can do. Punch the body and the head will die, as they say, or kill the body. Yeah. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So he's like, if there's anyone you know, he's like, in general, you shouldn't fear people who can just kill your body, because they're, you know, they kill your body, they're done, then you're fine. But if there's anyone you know, I'm not going to name names, but if you can think of anybody out there who can kill you and then cast you into hell for all eternity, I'd probably be afraid of that person. I'd probably tread carefully. Now, I'm not naming names, but I'm just saying, he seriously puts it that way. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. For fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Okay, how many? 7? How many sparrows could I fetch in your average market? I'm just checking. I might sell myself for sparrows. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Speak, master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. Really? So Jesus is going off on all this, like, okay, here's what you do. The whole world's going to end, by the way. Here's how you get into heaven. And the dude's like, hey, my brother owes me $20. Can you get him to, you know, give me 10 of that or half of it at least? He said to him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? I'm with Jesus on this particular point. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them. All right, buckle up, everyone, for a parable. This ought to be good. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and goods. So I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. Well, they're just lazy. Which neither have... Do you think it's the ravens, like, know about the fact that the second coming is coming? Is that Jesus? He's like, look, the ravens, they're doing what I said. They're not... No, it's just it's how they operate. We're not ravens, so we have to farm and do stuff like that, so... Which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. So this is interesting. This is the leave no thought for the morrow bit. Because he's saying, like, oh, if you're a rich guy and you store all this cool stuff and food and treasure and all that, and then you die, just kind of sits there. You didn't really get to use it, which is a good point. I think that's a good message, but for a different reason. See, Jesus's reasoning is, oh, don't the second coming, or well, I don't know if that's what he'd call it, but the end times, the rapture, that's happening like soon. I'm looking at my watch. It's going to be very soon, he's saying. So don't even get food. Don't do anything. Don't farm. Don't you? What are you doing? Look at these lazy birds. They're a perfect example, he's saying. And so that's of course all wrong, and it was all proven wrong, and so no one follows this religion because none of these prophecies came true, but we're just studying it because, you know, it's one of those historical curiosities. You know, no one reads this thing, no one believes in it because all this was false. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. Treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding. And when he cometh and knocketh, they may open up immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall be come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this I know, that if the goodman of the house, the John Goodman, had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. He would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Oh, great. This perfect prank. This is the perfect Jesus thing to do. He's like, look, you don't know when I'm going to come back, but if you're not watching, I mean, if you're not waiting for me, then you're screwed. So we just have to, everybody be on alert from now to a week from now. And they're like, oh, okay, I can do that. To a year from now, a year? Man, I don't want to wait a year. All right. I mean, I guess the kingdom of God, I can wait a year for the rapture. Yeah, yeah, hold on. I'm not done. To 3,000 years from now. What the 3,000 years? Why do I even have to watch? I'm going to be dead 100 times over 3,000 years. You're telling us all to, whoa, be wary, better be watchful. It's happening any minute. It's not, we're going to be dead. Why would you tell us that? Just tell the first few generations, like, you guys don't, just relax. the rapture is coming, but you're going to be dead. You'll be long dead. I'm going to give you guys a break. Now, starting, I would maybe delay it a little bit. Like, because you guys are cool. Because we're cool. We're friends, you know. I'm going to give you a little hint. You're just going to die before the rapture. So don't bother. Don't leave the light on. Don't worry about it. Don't leave cookies for me or whatever. Milk and cookies. I think that's what you do for Jesus in the rapture, right? Leave milk and cookies. And he's like, don't bother. The first few generations, but starting around the year something, start paying attention. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom this Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and appoint him his portion of the unbelievers, with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew the Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. For he that knew not did commit things worthy of stripes, and shall be beaten with a few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send the fire on the earth, and what will I if I be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? For suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. Shirts and skins, game of basketball, whoever wins goes to heaven, whoever loses goes to hell. The father shall be divided against the son. Yeah, separate them, they're the best two players on the team, so definitely split them up. The son against the father, yeah, that's covered in what I just said. The mother against the daughter, okay, they're not really into basketball, so you got to split them up. You know, don't handicap either team too much. And the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law. Now, this is interesting. Mother-in-law has played a little college ball, so she's actually very good. So that's going to be curious how that team works out. And also, I said shirts and skins, and now we got women in the game. So, whew, all right. Entertaining. Let's get this going. And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. But when ye see a south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Really? Yea, I'm just going to finish up here. Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee in prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the last mile. I like how he's like mocking us. He's like, you guys can tell the weather pretty well. You're like, oh, there's a cloud. That means it's going to be warm. But you can't tell when Jesus is coming. What gives, man? Like, he seriously says that. Like, I don't know why you can't understand this, people. Come on, it's pretty easy. All right, chapter 13 here. There were present at that season some that told him of Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that the Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. We all know about this historic event, apparently. Think that ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he spake also of this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Oh, good old fig tree parable. Here we go. Buckle up. And he came and sought fruit thereon, found none. He's like, darn it. I really want a fig. Gosh. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking the fruit. He's been waiting 3 years for a fig. Come on, tree. Jeez. Why did I plant you for? I plant you, I water you, and 3 years, not one fig? Come on, dude. Fruit of the tree, and found none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Dung it. I guess that means using fertilizer. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. I love this. Nothing beats this. Nothing beats this. So Jesus sees someone shaped in the letter C, like their back is just totally ruined. He's like, oh, I can just fix that. I'm a chiropractor, actually. That's one of my, he's like doing the popping here. So just fix you right up there. You're all cured. She looks 100% better. She goes from an old bent over woman to a young hot blonde with just a decal. It's not described there, but I can only assume that while God was at it, he fixed a few things. Gave her a quick like nose job and just because she was not looking good before this. So he patches her all up and it just miraculous stuff. And this woman is now a very powerful, a heavy hitter. She goes on to become president. That woman was Hillary Clinton. No, it wasn't. But it was somebody who just completely cured. You know, their life was agony, and now they're just, Jesus just fixed them up. And the first thing the assholes in the synagogue say is like, hey, dude, isn't the Sabbath? Hey, what are you working on the Sabbath for? It's the best. It's the best. Nothing beats it. That's the first thing they think of. I would at least lead off with, hey, Jesus, nice job. Good work. Saw you did what you did with the D cup there. That was good. You didn't go too crazy. You know, you made is definitely an improvement, but it, you know, still looks natural. Could be natural. Girl next door kind of thing. Great job. I think you did a fantastic. It is the Sabbath though. Is that against the rules? Is that okay? You know, like if you are going to broach it, at least have some tact, you know, but the first thing they say. And the Lord answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond, from this bond on the Sabbath day? And also, look at her. She's a bombshell now. She's looking great. She's going to take on the world. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. And then said he, Unto what is this kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree. Oh, yes, a mustard tree. Grow some mustard. And the fowls of the air lodged into the branches of it. And again he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of a meal till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And it's a very exclusive club, but you'll be able to see over the fence how much fun they're having, but you won't be able to get in. You'll be miserable. And there he shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit. Yeah, okay, just all directions. And shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first and first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk out today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. All right, that is the end. That's our show. I'd like to thank all my lovely supporters over at patreon.com/TandTheBeat, who are my amazing, awesome supporters who deserve all the credit in the world. Well, I'll tell you. I will tell you right now, John Bodley, Marcel, Japan Dan, Katie, Stacey Sweeney, George Green, Sarah McPike, Scott McFarlane, Charles Bangweiner, Tom Chambers, Brian Gareford, Lee Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, and Heriberto. Thank you guys for supporting the show, making it happen. It continues every week because of you. It will continue on to other books because of you. If you'd like to be a supporter, again, go to patreon.com/TandTheB. It's a dollar episode. It's seriously like a venti coffee at Starbucks per month to support the show, and it means a lot to me, and I'd really appreciate it. So thanks, you know, if you're feeling generous, go get one of those. Instead of getting one of those red cups that supports how does it work? I don't even know. I couldn't even keep track of what that story was. Red cups that are somehow anti-Christian or something. I don't know. Anyway, wishing you guys a very happy Thanksgiving. Maybe this trip, or maybe this podcast was something you listened to while driving home for the Thanksgiving holiday or something, in which case, thanks for listening. I'm glad I helped on a boring drive. So, see you next week. Love you all. Bye-bye.